How many of us are captivated by our phones, captivated by our devices, captivated to binge-watching a show on television? It's like we abhor quietness. And he continues and says, so many of us need to realize the addiction we have to noise. Modern life tends to rob us of the benefits of solitude.
Today on Connect with Skip Heitzig, Skip encourages you to set aside the busyness, constant noise, and security of this world, and to put your trust in God. But first, Skip wants to let you know how your support can keep faith-enriching messages coming to you.
Well, there's no doubt that these are interesting times that we live in, but they can become unnerving and unsettling, especially as we become more and more isolated from one another. More than ever, we need the truth and encouragement of God's Word to help give us God's perspective when the temptation can be to embrace fear and anxiety more aggressively. Here at Connect with Skip Heitzig, we believe that God has called us to help encourage and equip you in such a time as this. We have messages and resources on our website at connectwithskip.com and on our mobile app. And as we continue to send out teaching of God's Word around the world, it's more important than ever that we don't have to pull back on our ministry because of finances. Your gift today will help us continue to deliver God's Word to you and others in this new remote environment that we find ourselves in. You can call 800-922-1888 or you can visit us at connectwithskip.com to give your gift today. Thank you for standing with us in these times.
Thank you, Skip. Now, here's Skip Heitzig with today's teaching.
You remember when Jesus, in his Galilean ministry and his disciples, he was going everywhere with them? And it says in Mark chapter 6, then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So when they went away by themselves in a boat, they came to a solitary place. They were alone. This is to get rest. This is physical restoration. You know, I've had to rest lately by force. Any of you who have followed my life and ministry the last few months know I've mentioned in the last couple of studies I've had three surgeries, and the doctors always say, now go home and rest. It's very difficult for me to do. And in fact, there's a verse in Psalm 23, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know the chapter. It says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. That verse came alive to me in the hospital. He makes me lie down. Yeah. I'm not good at lying down. For most of my ministry life, I have maintained a schedule that probably isn't a good schedule. I've worked 6 days, and I've kind of taken that from the Old Testament model of 6 days you shall work, one day you shall rest. The only thing is I didn't always rest on that Sabbath, which is for me a Monday. I worked 6 days a week, sometimes 10, sometimes 12, sometimes 16 hours a day, depending on what day it was. And so the Lord is just showing me, you know what? If you're not going to do it, I'm going to make you do it. Yeah. And we're all in that boat now. Yes. The Lord has made us rest. And maybe he wants us to get physically renewed for whatever is coming next. So Christian, dear brother and sister, please use this time for physical restoration. Here's the second benefit, not just physical restoration, spiritual edification. Hey, enjoy God's presence during this time. In the midst of the chaos, I think this is when Christians really come alive. This is when we shine. This is when this shows the difference between being a believer and an unbeliever. You know, we have a peace that passes all understanding. We should be enjoying that. We should experience the joy of the Lord who is our strength. So enjoy spending time in God's presence. You know, for me, in this period of rest, I find myself getting up early, 5:36. I like to go on prayer walks. I like to have time in the Word. I go on walks just talking to the Lord, pouring out my heart before Him on a couple-mile walk, and I find it very, very spiritually edifying. Let me ask you a question. How often in the past have you said, man, I wish I had more time to read the Bible. Man, I wish I had more time to pray. Man, I wish I had more time to read that book. Now you got the time. So use it. Use it. Psalm 46, verse 10. You know it. Be still and know that I am God. You know, it's much easier to be still when you're alone, in solitude. Lamentations chapter 3. Here's a great verse that speaks to that or sort of buttresses that. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Let him sit alone and keep silent because God has laid that on him. So God has laid this on us all around the world. As Christians, we can take this time to meet alone with God regularly. Moses did that. Moses met with God, the Bible says, face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Deepen your friendship with God during this time. Not only did Moses do it, Elijah did it, Jacob did it, several others in the Bible did it. But you know, our best example is the Lord Jesus Christ. He did it. He withdrew himself, the Bible says, regularly into the wilderness, and there he prayed. For example, Mark chapter 1, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. The words of that great old hymn by Helen Lemmel, most of us know it, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Now's the time to put that into practice. So two good benefits to quarantine is beneficial. Physical restoration, number two, spiritual edification. Here's a third, self-evaluation. You know, when you're alone, you can think about you. You say, well, I do that quite well anyway. I know, we all do. We're all self-centered by nature. But when you're alone and you are in the presence of God, so you are letting God evaluate you, and then you evaluate yourself in the light of that, that becomes very powerful. This is what David meant in Psalm 139 when he said, search me, O God, and know me, try me and know my anxious thoughts, and reveal to me, show me if there's anything wicked in my life. God already knows you, right? All things are naked and open before the one to whom we must give an account, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4. But then as you evaluate yourself in the light of God's presence and let him reveal yourself, that self-evaluation becomes powerful. You know that even Jesus, though he knew all things, before he made a very, what we would call difficult choice or weighty choice, he spent time alone. So before he chose his 12 disciples, he spent time alone with God. It says in Luke 6, it came to pass in those days as he went into the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. He's all alone with his Father. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself. And from them, he chose 12 whom he also named apostles. So even Jesus, though he knew all things, spent time alone with the Father in prayer before making a very weighty choice that was confronting him. Now, all of this being alone, self-quarantining, self-evaluation, helps us to refocus our priorities on what is truly important. You know, one of the things this crisis does in a good way is lets us know what is important and what's not important, right? Relationships are important. We're reaching out to people. I've heard from so many people who have texted me or emailed me or have seen it on posts, how they're reconnecting with their family. They're forgiving past sins and sons and daughters who have been alienated are suddenly coming back. And a lot of that stuff is just going away as chaff to the wheat. That's good. Those are good things to happen. We're reshuffling and reorganizing our priorities. In fact, I was listening to one apologetics professor who said, suffering is beneficial because not only does it make us aware of our own mortality, And God doesn't want us to be secure in this life. But one of the great things it does is helps us fulfill the mandate in 1 John 4. He said, do not love the world, nor the things that are in this world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. God didn't want us to be loving this world. And this time of suffering, and hopefully self-evaluation, helps you realize, yep, I've been loving the world a little too much. I need to get away from that. God accomplishes that through suffering. So we have three things so far as benefits to a quarantine: physical restoration, spiritual edification, and self-evaluation. Let me throw out a fourth: inner consolation. Inner consolation. When you're alone, you can deal with things like grief at its deepest level. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that when you are going through a period of grief, if you are, that you should be alone and deal with it by yourself, because we do need to share it with others, and we need to pour out our griefs to those who can give us counsel and give us wisdom. But when you're alone with God, that's when it's most powerful. You know, our Lord Jesus was informed one day of the death of his good friend and his forerunner, John the Baptist. It was grieving to the disciples of John the Baptist, grieving to the disciples of Jesus, and even sad for our Lord Jesus himself. It says, when Jesus heard about it, he departed from there by a boat to a deserted place by himself. He could deal with that grief with the Father in the presence of God at its deepest level. In Luke chapter 22, Jesus was distressed again, this time not because of the death of a friend, but his own suffering. He was facing the cross. It says he withdrew from his disciples about a stone's throw, knelt down, and he prayed, Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me. He's wrestling with it. He's dealing with it alone before his Father. So, to sum it up, there are certainly physical benefits and medical benefits to being quarantined. There are spiritual benefits and emotional benefits to being quarantined. So I see this as a time of purification for the church, for believers. You know, we're dealing with life at a whole different level. Don Whitney said, and I quote, one of the costs of technological advancement, which is where we are in this day and age, is a greater temptation to avoid quietness. How many of us are captivated by our phones, captivated by our devices, captivated to binge watching a show on television? It's like we abhor quietness. And he continues and says, so many of us need to realize the addiction we have to noise. Modern life tends to rob us of the benefits of solitude. So we have two things so far. To quarantine is biblical, and to quarantine is also beneficial. Let me give you a third. To quarantine is practical. We can turn this into one of our most productive times ever. I'm glad I have worship leaders up here around me, so I'm going to throw out a challenge in a minute to our worship community and those who are watching online. Think of it this way. Paul the Apostle gave to us some of the best New Testament letters while he was in jail. He was quarantined in a Roman prison, and he wrote Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. Those four letters in one single bout of being quarantined. Here's another one, though not a spiritual source necessarily, but in 1606, when a plague struck England, William Shakespeare was quarantined in his home. During his quarantine, he wrote these three works. See if they ring a bell. Macbeth, King Lear, and Antony and Cleopatra. That's while he was quarantined during an outbreak of a disease. So, here's my challenge, worship leaders. Some of your best work ought to come from this time. As you're on downtime and you have time to think, you could produce the next set of hymns for the church. So we have some practical things we can do. One of the most practical things is more family time. Get to know your family better. You say, oh man, I got my kids at home. They can't go to school. We're all quarantined together. Again, how many times in the past have you longed for more, deeper, authentic family time? Now you have it. One father on Twitter said, at last, I'm practicing more homeschooling for our boys. He went on to explain, my wife did all the homeschooling. Now I'm able to participate in that. We've even had one who uses that Connect with Skip and Lenya, that table talk that we're doing live on Tuesdays and Thursdays as homeschooling curriculum for his kids and his group. So that's very, very creative. I was on a website this week called crosswalk.com, which is a Christian site that gave all sorts of great practical ideas for families who are stuck at home. Let me toss out a few to you. Board games. It's a great way to know somebody and great way to deal with frustration and anger during a board game. Putting a puzzle together, that can be a challenge. How about projects as a family? Cleaning out the garage, cleaning out the pantry, both of which my wife says we need to do. Here's another thing. Journal this experience. I don't know if you practice that spiritual discipline, but it's a good thing to journal what is happening in the world today. It's something that I do, and we're living in historic times. Teach your children the value of a journal. How about this? Say, kids, your assignment is to, in newspapers or magazines, cut out headlines, and we'll paste them in a little family scrapbook. I'll do the writing, and we can all contribute together. Or you assign one child one aspect of it one day, one child another. But learn about this together. The more you talk about it, the better and easier it will be for them. Here's another example on crosswalk.com. Teach your kids a new skill. If they're older kids, teach them how to change the oil in their car. Teach them how to play an instrument if you're a musician. You know, you've got time to do that. Teach them to weed the yard if you'd like. Another good practical thing would be is to sit down and look over old photographs, whether you have old photo albums or you have them on your device. Kind of take your kids, your family through your own family history. And go through those photographs and talk about what life was like as you share those memories and make memories. And by the way, be sure to photograph this time of quarantine. You're going to want that later on for the future, for posterity. Another practical thing is make cards to send to people. This is where you actually have to use something called a pen. And you pick up the pen and you actually write words with your hand instead of typing or texting it. You write it out. You even draw pictures. My granddaughter is a beautiful little artist. And my grandson and granddaughter, when I was sick in the hospital, wrote out by hand what they were feeling and what they were wishing and what they were praying and drew pictures. You could make cards like one a day and send them to loved ones, even people in the neighborhood. Here's another thing, and then I'll end with this practical stuff on family time. Have a picnic as a family. You go to the mountains, you go to your backyard, you could camp in your backyard, you could camp inside your house, you could go outside and cloud watch and say, what does that shape remind you of? Let's make animals in the sky, all those silly little things that your kids will treasure in years to come. I even say this, get a pair of binoculars or telescope. I love to do this with my grandson and look up at the stars and the moon and talk about God's goodness and God's greatness. So all of those are practical, more family time type of activities. Then finally, as a practical adventure, more ministry time, more ministry opportunity. One of the things I have noticed and I've been so happy for and proud of you for is how you've all stepped up to the plate to see how you could minister to the community, especially the most vulnerable. Thank you for getting involved in our kindness campaign. We're collecting food, items, toilet paper, disinfectants, bleach, cleaner. We're sending it out to different homes. We've been making runs all day long in the last several days. Here's a few highlights from our kindness campaign. There was one man who had COPD, has COPD, chronic onset pulmonary disorder. He's on oxygen, so he has to have a cannula in his nose. He has arthritis. He cannot leave his room. We send somebody out, and when he saw our staff member show up on the second story where he lives, apartment, with a bag of food and supplies, he was so elated. It was so excited. It made his day. That's one story. And then there was a mom who had her one-year-old baby hospitalized, suspecting coronavirus. When the baby was cleared to go home, they said, you can only go home if the house is cleaned and disinfected. And so the grandmother, who was in the area, didn't have cleaning supplies, so we were able to go out there with bleach, go out there with a cleaner, and give those supplies to disinfect that house to allow that family to go back in. So it's just a practical and beautiful way. And then number three, a disabled man who had no food, we were able to bring him food and just sort of just change his hopeless estate into a more hopeful estate. This is what Christians do. During times of challenge, they step up to the challenge, they meet the challenge, they go above and beyond, and I'm so thankful to be able to do church a different way. Yes, we have to come to you this way, but we can go out to the community in that way, delivering these items curbside. Now, I want to take you back to the early days of the church in closing. The scene is the Roman Empire, first couple of centuries. In 165, a plague, an outbreak of smallpox pervaded Rome and started spreading through the Roman Empire. And here's from a book that I found. In 165 AD, a plague swept through the mighty Roman Empire, wiping out one in every three people in the population. It happened again in 251 when 5,000 people per day were dying in the city of Rome alone. Those infected were abandoned by their families to die in the streets. The government was helpless, and the emperor himself succumbed to the plague. So the emperor died of this outbreak. Pagan priests fled their temples where people had flocked for comfort and explanation. People were too weak to help themselves. If the smallpox did not kill you, hunger, thirst, and loneliness would. The effect on the wider society was catastrophic. Yet, following the plagues, the good reputation of Christianity was confirmed and its population grew exponentially. Why is this? Christians did not come armed with intellectual answers to the problem of evil. They did not enjoy a supernatural ability to avoid pain and suffering. What they did have was water and food and their presence. In short, if you knew a Christian, you were statistically more likely to survive. And if you survived, it was the church that offered you the most loving, stable, and social environment. Close quote. That's right out of the pages of history, and we're able to make history right now. So we're making history and coming to you live this way through this technology. We're making history by giving you all sorts of resources on the internet, and we're making history by going out into our community in a whole different way to spread the love of Jesus Christ.
That's Skip Heitzig with the message, The Quarantined Life. Now, real quick, we want to tell you about a resource that will help you learn more about the future, the world's, and yours.
How would you like to predict the future? 100 years ago, a man named John Watkins, who curated the Smithsonian, tried. He predicted that by today, we'd have exterminated cockroaches and mosquitoes, and we'd no longer be using the letters C, Q, or X. Tell that to Xerox. The truth is, the future is beyond our ability to predict, but it's not beyond God's. And his word tells us everything we need to know about what's ahead in the period known as the end times. We want to help you understand what the future holds by sending you Skip Heitzig's book, You Can Understand the Book of Revelation. You Can Understand the Book of Revelation, newly reprinted to include helpful illustrations and a study guide. This timely resource is our gift of thanks for your donation today of $35 or more to help keep these Bible-based teachings on the air. Visit connectwithskip.com/offer to give today and get your copy of You Can Understand the Book of Revelation. Or call 800-922-1888. That's 800-922-1888.
Listeners like you play a vital part in this ministry. Your generosity makes an eternal impact by helping connect so many others to the truths found in God's Word. If you've been impacted by this radio broadcast, consider giving a one-time gift today or making a monthly commitment to help other listeners like you find spiritual nourishment through biblical teachings. Just call 800-922-1888. That's 800-922-1888. Thank you.
Tune in tomorrow as Skip Heitzig talks about the praise and songs of redemption that will be a part of your eternal future.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on His wood. Make a connection.
Connect with Skip Heitzig is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.